again. Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster, along with my buddy John, engineering and producing our program on the other side of the glass. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. Off and running mid-April. It's Monday, April 17th, 2023. Our show now, 13th year, broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio as part of the Bustos Media Tucson campus. On 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening. On my website, buckmastershow.com, the Buckmaster Show live line. We do our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures, real estate and property management, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. We love Moe and his family. They do such a great job. I was actually over to pick up an item to have framed on Saturday. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, of which we have two in our home, beautiful mirrors, art for your walls. Moe is a fantastic photographer. He's got some beautiful things in the gallery, and of course, picture framing. And if you want Moe to come out to the house to make sure that your item goes up on the wall the way you want it and where you want it, and you don't want to get up on the ladder, Moe will do it, and gladly so. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and their website's looking really good, revamped website, moesgallery.com. This week's one-on-one interview is with Dr. Linda Hollis, Assistant Professor of Practice in the College of Science and Psychology at the University of Arizona, where she coordinates the Healthy Aging programs. Dr. Hollis, for 25 years, has worked in the field of aging, behavioral health, and nonprofit executive leadership. Dr. Hollis received her master's in gerontology, specializing in Alzheimer's disease, an education specialist degree in educational psychology, and a PhD in psychology focusing on human-animal bonding. We'll talk maybe a little bit later about that. I'm interested in that one as well. Dr. Hollis, welcome to our program.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for coming in. I want to talk about the whole being a card-carrying baby boomer, this whole change in demographics. I mean, we knew Linda Hollis, the baby boom generation, back even in the 90s, we knew this was coming, this wave of graying or aging. And I wonder, have we prepared enough for it?
Well, Bill, that's a great question. In 1998, we were looking at about 17.7% population being over the age of 65. And we saw that in 2023, we were going to jump about 5%, so to 17%. So we saw that. And when I started my master's in gerontology was 1998. And I said, we have a lot of work to do. However, I'm becoming cautiously optimistic because finally in 2020, the UN or the United Nations developed a healthy aging, a decade of healthy aging plan, as well as the National Institute of Aging has a five-year plan looking at what is about to come. And it won't stop here. We will be seeing by 2050 a 21% group over the age of 65. So it will even continue at a greater rate.
And it might surprise some of our listeners to realize how many people over 65 are still in the workforce.
Yeah, so that's a very important topic to talk about, is our workforce and aging. And it's actually a dyad. We are seeing more individuals over 65 working. And right now we have about 30% of our workforce.
Wow, that many.
Between 65 and 74 is about 30%. And that includes part-time workers as well. And so the dyad is that folks are staying in the workplace longer, mostly because they haven't saved as much for retirement. The pension plans have gone away, all these things. So they're worried about their financial future. And they're healthier. I have folks at 65 with the medical technology, and folks are living longer. They will need more money to spend throughout the years. But yeah, the other part of the dyad is that they're working with, well, there's a few things. There's five generations in the workforce right now.
Five generations.
Yes, and that has been unheard of. This is the first time we still, because folks are working like the silent generation, they're about 77 years old and older. They're right. still in the workplace. Then you have the baby boomers, and you can go through the mm-hmm. generations. Mm-hmm. But right now, yeah, we're looking at five generations. We also look at ageism in the workplace as well because of these five generations. And ageism is the ism that actually folks aren't talking about as much as the other isms. And I just read a report that 93% of older adults feel that they have been part of an ageist workforce.
Discriminated?
Yes.
They're discriminated against.
Yep. Due to age. And but I tell my students that it goes both ways too. Mm-hmm. We have
some young people don't want to talk to older people. They're afraid to talk to older people. And I think what you shared with me before we went on makes me at least hopeful that we're starting to see a little of that change, because that's part of what you're doing when you're with your students.
Right. So at the university, we are trying to be ahead of the game.
Yeah.
So the Department of Psychology has developed a certificate program mm-hmm. for undergrad students, and they take 12 units, so four classes, mm-hmm. all on aging, and that is above their major and minor. And so they will come to the workforce understanding the aging process. They have opportunity to talk to older adults. I have a lot of experiential learning in my classes, so they will know how to interact. Because one thing I found when I was in the industry and I was hiring mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. students out of college or mm-hmm. for the workforce, that they had the degree, they had the textbook knowledge, maybe or maybe not, mm-hmm. but they had never spoken to an older adult before.
Wow.
So that for me is a priority in all of my classes, is they interview older adults. We have experiential learning, and that came from my experience of being in the industry for so long. And then for the folks who are actually working mm-hmm. in the industry, I have developed a 35-hour credit or unit or mm-hmm. hours mm-hmm. course for folks to understand the aging process and the relationships, caregiving, and they are not college credit classes. So it's learning hours. There are CEUs available. So this way, the people who are already in the workforce can take the 35 hours and learn about aging. And it's across the spectrum. It's not only healthcare. It's not only nurses that need to know about aging or psychology students. Like I said, at the bank, business owners,
sure.
Marketing companies,
yeah.
they need to understand the differences in how to market and not market young age products or whichever, but what does that look like? How can we promote healthy aging? And because there's going to be 2035, so in 12 years, mm-hmm. there's going to be more people over the age of 65 than under the age of 18.
Oh my goodness.
So that is why
is the graying of America happening right before our eyes. And you mentioned these people aren't necessarily these younger people. They may not be going into healthcare, but they're going to be dealing, as you said, just take example of a bank teller. How do I even greet an older person? Not with perhaps stereotypes, right?
Absolutely. And that's where we say that.
How are you, sweetie, or something
correct.
Like that. Yeah.
I was talking to one man, and an older adult, and he's like, I don't like elder speak.
Yes.
And they talk down to me. They yell at me. There was all these things. And he says, it doesn't make me feel good.
No.
And one of the people on the panel, a lady, older adult, she's like, yes, I don't like when they call me honey either.
Yes, yes.
So really the proper terms to call folks over 65 are older adults.
Yes.
Or elders. We do not use the term the elderly any long or
good.
Senior citizens.
Good.
So elders is a respect, and older adults, older people, older persons. So that is one thing I hope people take away today, is how even to address the population.
All right. We're speaking about aging and the graying of America with Dr. Linda Hollis, assistant professor of practice in the College of Science and Psychology at the University of Arizona. We'll have more with Dr. Hollis, our one-on-one guest. But first, want to talk about our favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. I was up there yesterday, said hello to Steve, the owner, and the team. They were having the usual very busy Sunday, but I was able to get a couple of wonderful almond croissants. And one of them I carried over for this morning and enjoyed very much. Mona's Danish Bakery. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. They're located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, open Tuesday through Saturday. Doors open at 6:30 in the morning, Sunday 7 a.m. My advice, get there early for the best selection from the bakery case. Our Monday one-on-one is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. We'll be right back with Dr. Linda Hollis talking about aging in America. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We love green things. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Such an incredible selection of everything for your garden and some beautiful items from their sister business, Zocalo Village, that Talavera pottery from Mexico. So beautiful. Their website, greenthingsaz.com. The sister business is zocalovillage.com in their 53rd year of business, and they are open daily. Monday, we kick off the week here on the Buckmaster Show with the Monday One-on-One presented by our friends over at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They've been in business since 1985. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Our One-on-One interview is with Dr. Linda Hollis, Assistant Professor of Practice in the College of Science and Psychology at the University of Arizona, where she coordinates the healthy aging programs. Dr. Hollis, you were attracted to the whole field of geriatrics at a rather young age. You were a teenager, I believe. It is an area that many in the medical field seem to shun. They go into different specialties. Is that changing? I hope.
Great question, Bill. And actually, we're not seeing a lot of change. Unfortunately, we are looking at, for example, geriatricians. Mm-hmm. There is about 7,000 in America right now, and it's been flat for about 10 years. Mm. So as the
not keeping up with that demographic that you shared with us.
Absolutely.
In the first segment.
Absolutely.
For sure.
We are looking at that. So it is flat for the past 10 years. We are also looking at the number of medical programs and that don't even offer a mandatory gerontology or geriatric rounds or internship or residency. Mm-hmm. Also, there are fellowships open that remain open in some med schools, many med schools, because they're not being filled.
So if some young person wanted to choose that field, there would be incredible opportunities. Is that what I'm hearing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In nursing and in the healthcare, we are looking at, and currently individuals over the age of 85 consume mm-hmm. probably the highest costs of healthcare, and that will continue. Even though we're focused on healthy aging and preventative measures and looking to take care of ourselves and exercise and cognitive
vitality. The reality is. Reality is, and we all know what that is. I want to share a little bit with our listeners about an area that I'm very interested in, and I see that your PhD work, your research was done in psychology that focused on the human-animal bonding. How important is some kind of an animal companion, a companion animal, especially for older people who are living alone, who have lost a spouse?
Yeah, this is one of my favorite topics, actually, to talk about. And research has shown for years that physically folks, older adults, are healthier. Their blood pressure is lower. Cholesterol is lower. They get comfort from their animals, less anxiety, treats PTSD even. And actually, it shows that it doesn't matter what kind of animal, actually. Some individuals...
It could be a rabbit.
Exactly. Exactly. That will provide that comfort, sure. that soothing. Yes. One thing that we have seen is with the dogs, they have to go out more. So mm-hmm. people who have dogs are actually healthier because they're walking the dogs. The dog park, if they take it to the, mm-hmm. the animal to the dog park.
And there's an interaction with other humans.
Absolutely. Very, well. Very yeah. social. Mm-hmm. The concerns we have with older adults and pets are the cost.
Yes.
And hopefully that if they want to look at the cost, it can get expensive, as well as a fall risk. We have seen some fall risks with pets, you know, either walking mm-hmm. or getting in the way or pulling the leash or something like that.
And then there's the whole concern about what happens if I have to go into the hospital and I'm living alone, I need health care, who's going to take care of the dog or cat?
Right.
Or the rabbit or whatever.
Exactly. And that's what my research showed, actually, that, and it continues to mm-hmm. show that people, older adults, are wanting to take care of their pets rather than themselves. So mm-hmm. they will miss doctor's appointments. They will miss going to the hospital because they're worried about their pets. So actually, I developed a safety plan for older adults to have in their fridge, give to loved ones, that when your pet, or if you have to go to the hospital, you have a place for the pet, or even in an emergency situation, mm-hmm. people will know that they're the ones responsible for your pet, where mm-hmm. everything is, because again, that is probably the number one factor I see of older adults not going to the hospital because they're worried about their pet.
Linda Hollis is with us. Dr. Hollis, how can we stay sharp and perhaps avoid Alzheimer's disease? What are some of the things, some of the strategies that you would suggest?
Well, I wish
stay
I had a...
Stay active,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. I wish
keep
I had a
mind,
magic wand.
Keep your mind active.
Yes. Yeah. Active in all levels. Mm-hmm. You want exercise, eat healthy, cognitive vitality, everything that...
We've heard of people doing crossword puzzles, things like that every day, just to keep your mind active. Then there are the people that they dream of retirement, and then the day comes and they retire, and then they sit and look at the four walls and they say, now what? You've got to have something to do.
Yes, absolutely. Social isolation. There was a study not too long ago that social isolation or chronic loneliness has the same health effect as smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
Are you kidding me? 15 cigarettes, mm-hmm. the equivalent of the loneliness. And
of chronic loneliness.
Chronic loneliness.
Absolutely. Mm. So as people look at retiring, most often they're looking at their financial future. Mm-hmm. But as people retire, we still want to look at having a purpose, mm-hmm. socializing. As we know, our social circles may get smaller as we age due mm-hmm. to death of our loved ones or friends, mm-hmm. but we still need, doesn't need to be a big social group, but mm-hmm. definitely some interaction and communication and socialization.
And for those that would like to, maybe they're retired and they're saying, hey, you know, I'm really bored. Go by any business and there is going to be a now hiring sign out front. So if there's something that someone would like to do that even a hobby turned into some kind of work, get paid a little something for it, but it gives you something to do.
Absolutely. Very, very important. And again, or volunteerism. There's a lot of organization looking for volunteers.
So when you getting back to kind of the way we started this interview with the demographics, and you pointed out that there are more and more people, older people, that are going to be entering in the workforce. And part of what you're trying to do at the University of Arizona is train young people not only how to interact with people, older people, but perhaps look at a job in the healthcare profession. So I think a fundamental question, Linda Hollis, is who is going to be there to take care of us, when I mean us, my generation and the baby boom generation, when we need the healthcare? Isn't that the fundamental question?
That is the fundamental question, absolutely. And when I teach about caregiving, I also teach about family caregiving, because we are going to be seeing a lot more family caregivers. However, there's a lot of concerns about that around still holding a job and caring for their older parent, going to all appointments. We are in a caregiver crisis right now. And if, again, something doesn't change, it's going to get worse. And this isn't only a problem in the United States. I do want to share that it's a world demographic shift. Mm-hmm. It is not only here. It is across the world that we are seeing the aging population.
All right, Dr. Linda Hollis from the University of Arizona Psychology Department and the College of Science, good luck with your continuing work with healthy aging. Appreciate you coming in and talking with us. Is there a place that folks could get more information on the internet? Is there somewhere that you would like to recommend, Dr. Hollis?
Yeah, absolutely. First, they can email me directly at Linda Hollis, L-I-N-D-A, Hollis, H-O-L-L-I-S.
They could also just Google you, Linda Hollis, University of Arizona, right?
Exactly.
That would get you there, right?
Yep. And if they Google Department of Psychology Healthy Aging Certificate, it will go right to our landing page.
All right, Dr. Hollis, thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Bill.
All right, our Monday one-on-one was presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen. Giving Copenhagen a free plug there. Their website is moesgallery.com. We'll be right back with our monthly consumer alert from the Better Business Bureau. Stay with us.
News brief. Still no arrest for a mass shooting in Dadeville, Alabama that killed four people and landed dozens more in the hospital. Heidi Smith works at Lake Martin.
Of those 15, we were able to treat six patients successfully, treat them here, and discharge them.
16-year-old Ralph Jarl is still in the hospital after getting shot for knocking on the wrong door in Kansas City. CBS's Lilia Luciano.
Jarl was supposed to pick up his younger brothers from a friend's house on 115th Terrace. Instead, he went to 115th Street, where he rang the bell, and that's when police say a man opened fire.
Manhattan's DA is calling the House Judiciary Committee's hearing on crime today in New York a political stunt. New York Democrat Jerry Nadler.
The police department's own data show that since D.A. Bragg took office, shootings in Manhattan have declined by 20%. Homicides have declined by 16%.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade, using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for Marketplace Trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, kicking off a new week on the Buckmaster Show, and it is time for our monthly interview segment featuring the monthly scam alert presented by our friends at the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. And we welcome today to our microphones Irene Coppola. Irene, great to see you again.
Yes, nice to see you.
Leader of the pack at the BBB, and Denise Alvarez is here, operations manager at the BBB. And today we're going to get into something that's being referred to, Irene and Denise, as imposter scams. Denise, are these something, a new trend in the field of scammerology?
Actually, you know, that Irene asked me the same thing. She was like, are we just seeing more of it? And we are. It's not new. Uh-huh. We're just seeing a lot more reports about imposter scams.
Well, how does it work?
Well, actually, we've been seeing a lot of them try to pretend to be the BBB.
Really? They're going into that area now, huh?
Yes, absolutely.
Impersonating you guys.
Correct. Yes. And so what they do is they'll send an email. They'll try calling you to try to get you to give them your either payment information or just confirm information about the business. And so they'll be sending those out to businesses and consumers regarding a complaint or a customer review.
They're not going to the point where they want you to actually sign something, are they, Denise?
They are. So there's a few businesses actually in El Paso that received emails claiming to be the BBB, and they asked them to respond to a complaint and actually asked them to review and sign a document. The email will include the BBB logo and information, so it looks very real.
Irene, the scammers are contacting people via phone. Is that how this is coming down?
Yes. So scammers contacting the businesses via phone. And how did we find out about this? Well, we actually had accredited businesses call in to their representative and say, I received this phone call and it just seemed so strange. Is this for real? So it was wonderful that they did that, because that's exactly what mm-hmm. we want them to do. You know, we want them to look onto our website and say, you know what, I'm going to call the BBB from the website number right. versus the number that they see on their caller ID. Mm-hmm. This way they know that they're speaking with authentically the Better Business Bureau.
Yeah, and somewhere in all of this, Denise, I bet somebody's asking for a Social Security number.
Yes, absolutely. Some of those phone calls that they received were letting them know that they qualify for a credit card loan. So they would ask for Social Security information about the business, but it's not the BBB.
And was there like a fake invoice requested as well? Or?
Correct. So, you know, scammers know that we are a member-based organization, so they'll send out an invoice and request you to pay it. They'll send it via email, and then they'll follow up with a phone call and pretend like they can take the payment over the phone.
It's talking about tech support scams, Irene. That's also making its way around. Again, imposters, right?
Yep. Yeah. Exactly. And so, you know, how do they get access to your computer? Well, first of all, they earn your trust so that you give them access into your computer. And wow, they can just, they'll take over from there, or they'll say, you know what? The tech support you received from the company XYZ, they went out of business. You are due a refund. We just need your credit card number to refund that particular card back. So boom, right there. There, you know, they get your financial information. So very, very clever. And they pivot quickly.
They can pivot just depending on maybe what you say or how you respond.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting, Denise and I, we were having this conversation because, you know, not only is it the BBB scam, is it the tech scam, but, you know, we're coming across, for example, Amazon sending mm-hmm. texts. Your driver has a message regarding your delivery and Ooh. You happen to be expecting a delivery. So you're like, whoa, wait, I haven't seen this. Is this how?
I actually got a scam call from Amazon mm-hmm. yesterday.
Wow.
That's interesting
yeah.
you brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying that they weren't talking about the delivery. They just said that this is Amazon about your recent order. And I knew because of you guys and what we do here on the radio, I knew Amazon doesn't call people.
Right.
But
exactly.
That's interesting that you brought that up. But now yes. they're actually taking it to the point where this is Amazon and I'm calling about, I need some more information about your delivery.
Yep. And you know what it does? It's like, you know, makes you freeze and it's
exactly.
like, wait, I am expecting a package.
Yes.
But, you know, so it's so important to take those extra seconds, you know, to really think about, okay, no, I'm going to access Amazon through my account mm-hmm. versus the connection that's
exactly.
occurred.
Exactly. And they're using even the BBB logo, right, Denise?
Correct. Yeah. We were just, like Irene mentioned, talking about this. They make it look very legit. Why? Because they want to earn your trust. They want you to click on, you know, the links and provide the information. And so they really just put a lot of work into it because they know that the return on their investment is going to be bigger than the time that they put into the email.
So check your phone number and call BBB directly if you have any questions.
Correct. Yes.
We've got IRS scams today. Let's see. No, I'm told that actually today is not the deadline. I think it's tomorrow.
Correct.
So this means you could more than likely get a scammer calling today or doing something about the IRS.
Absolutely. Actually, they just don't stop. They
yeah.
know it is tax season. And so they have the scam that is working for them at the moment. So, yes, it's so important to look out and be aware if you're contacted by the IRS. They, first of all, will not contact you via phone.
They don't do the phone.
No.
And I don't know if they even do email. I think it's mainly just direct mail.
Exactly.
So if you can remember that, IRS, mm-hmm. direct mail, anything else, get rid of them if they call.
Exactly.
Okay, let's go over some things, Denise, that callers should keep in mind about these if they encounter some of these scams.
Well, the first thing is to not feel pressured to respond or pay or click on anything or call anyone back. Mm-hmm. As Irene mentioned, do your research. Contact that company directly. Make sure that you ask questions, but you don't have to do anything under pressure. Take your time to do your research before you contact any of the organizations that supposedly contacted you.
When they bring up refunds, what should you do?
Yeah, no, definitely. Again, just do your research. Like Irene said, the tech support scam, it's another company usually that they pretend to be with. So if you do a refund, you know, stop and say, hey, let me call you back. I can't take your call right now. And then go to either BBB.org or give us a call at 520-888-5353. And we'll be more than happy to help you.
And remember, if you don't give them your credit card or banking information, that's a good way to end it right there. It should have been, if it goes that far, don't even get into the financial details.
Exactly.
Stop it before you even get to that stage. Irene, let's talk about some other things going on with the BBB, the Accredited Business Directory. What's that all about?
Yeah, actually, we're very excited about that. This is a print directory that will be distributed to over 20,000 consumers, and it's very strategically marketed to consumers that prefer to receive their information in print. So this directory will have all of our accredited businesses, as well as other advertising. And, you know, we're super excited about it.
I'm old-fashioned. Yeah. I'm one of the, you said, consumers who still like to get things in print.
Yes.
Count me in.
Absolutely.
In that area. Maybe I'm old-fashioned, but I actually like to have that print right in front of me.
I will have your copy delivered to you.
Thank you very much. And Irene, the mixers continue.
Yes, fourth Thursday of every month. This month it's going to be Thursday, April 27th at Brother John's from 5 to 7. These are free. And we usually have about 75 to 100 in attendance. It's a great opportunity to meet other individuals, to get your business out there in front of others. So it's
great socializing event, right, Denise?
Absolutely, yes.
Everybody can come out and get to know each other. Can we announce the 2023 Torch Award winners yet, Irene?
Our finalists.
Yes,
that announcement was debuted late Friday, early Saturday morning.
Okay.
Denise, do you have that?
You have the list there?
Of course. So our Torch Awards will be on May 19th at Casino del Sol. For business ethics, category 1 to 10 employees, we have Fox Roofing LLC, Felicia's Best Personal Assisting, A Authentic Garage Door Service Company. For category 2, which is 11 to 29 employees, we have Ronnie's Handyman and Home Services, Dynamic Comfort AC, and Dunright Services. Above 30 employees, we have Tucson Appliance Company, Law Offices of Snell and Wilmer, and Express Flooring. And then we have for a nonprofit, category 1, below 1.5 million in revenue, we have Southern Arizona Book Heroes, Vince Bell's Reach for the Stars. Category 2 is Habitat for Humanity, Girl Scouts of Southern Arizona, in Literacy Connects. And then for Spark Awards, we have Katrina Calderon with Regal Fierce Media and Alan Romero with Perfection AZ Handyman.
Very good. Got a great list there.
Mm-hmm.
So now what? People vote for them?
No. So they submitted an application. We're through doing the judging. The judging process is over. So
okay.
These are our finalists. And then the winners will be announced during the event on May 19th.
And how is that coming, Irene, the preparation for the Torch Awards?
You know, we're super busy getting all the details taken care of. We're
Casino
super
Casino del Sol is your venue, right?
Casino del Sol.
May 19th.
Yep.
Good place to go to the website for more?
Yes, absolutely. So bbb.org/... Tucson Torch. We're also excited to announce that we have a student video contest this year. So the students can win three possible scholarships. So if you want more information, visit bbb.org/Tucson Torch.
Mm-hmm. So this is something new?
Correct. Yes.
And go ahead. Tell me a little bit more about it.
So it's students can produce. High school students in Southern Arizona who are graduating can produce a 30 to 60 second video about ethics and trust in their life, submitted, and we'll have a judging process, and they can win one of three scholarships, one for $2,000, one for $1,000, and one for $500.
Very cool. Boy, you guys got a lot going on.
Yep.
Wow.
Very exciting.
All right. More information, bbb.org for everything we've talked about here on the show. Irene and Denise, always a pleasure. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
All right. We will take a break right here, and we'll get kind of a view of how that U of A football spring game went. Troy Hutchison joins us on the live line right after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare.
Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane in North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Monday edition. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Time for a spring getaway to a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. Only about a three-hour drive from Tucson, the Gila National Wilderness. What a beautiful time of year over there. Do some hiking. Check out all the activities by visiting their great website, which is southwestnewmexico.org. What to do, where to stay, even where to dine. All the information you'll need before your getaway to Silver City. Let's go now on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Troy Hutchison of GoAZCats.com joining us on the live line. How are you, Troy?
Good. Thank you for having me on, Bill. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. So, the third spring football game under Coach Jed Fish, now in the books. How did it go? How did the Cats look?
You know, I thought it went pretty well. They recorded 23,000 fans in attendance for the game. I think that's a record number since probably going back to the Mike Stoops era. But, you know, the offense had its struggles. The defense looked good at times, too. I think it was a pretty balanced game. One guy that stood out was Kevin Green, the receiver that's going to take the role of Jacob Cowing in the slot, with Jacob moving over to Dorian's role over on the outside. The first drive of the game, he had three catches for about, I would say, 60 yards. Didn't get a touchdown, but he looked really good, really aggressive, and I think overall it was a pretty good show.
How about the quarterback position?
You know, Jaden looks more calm and comfortable being the leader of this team than he did last year. at this time. His understanding of the playbook is much greater than it was back then. And that's one of the things that Coach Fish talked about after the spring game, was that the command of the offense and just the leadership on and off the field for Jaden has developed tremendously over this last year. And Jaden even said it himself, talking about, you know, that he just feels more comfortable with everybody and the guys trust him more. And he said, you know, and one thing that he had to work on at the end of the season and to this point was making it just about football. He said, you know, just wanting to be a leader on and off the field. And for, you know, when you get off the field, it's business too. And he said, you know, he loves hanging out with his dog, working out and getting ready for the next game. And they're going to take a trip here for the summer, him and his dog going to camp out in California for quarterbacks. But I don't know, it seems like a different mindset for Jaden Delora going into this season, which is a couple months away, than it was last season. He just seems more of a calm, collected, and driven an individual than he was before.
It's going to be a fun year coming up, a fun season. It's going to be rich with really talented quarterbacks, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, you look across the Pac-12, not only Arizona, Jaden Delora, you have Bo Nix at Oregon, Michael Penix at Washington State, the Heisman winner in Caleb Williams at USC. This league is loaded with quarterbacks. If you don't have one, you're probably not going to be in a good situation. And really the only team right now that really doesn't have a quarterback, well, only two teams that don't have a stable quarterback situation are Cal and Stanford. But you look across the conference, even ASU, they have a guy coming in. There's a lot of guys that can sling the ball, and it's an offensive-driven league.
But you got to have defense, and that was a weak place for the U of A last year. So how, and judging by what you saw Saturday, were there some positive changes on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, you know, I think not only Saturday, but really covering the whole entire training spring practice, the secondary to me is in a much better situation than it was last season. And I know that sounds weird when you lose a guy like Christian Roland Wallace in the secondary, Christian Young and other guys too, but just talent from top to bottom. They brought in Charles Yates, who's been phenomenal for them as that number two corner. Dakario Davis has developed. Ephesians Prysock is going to be the number one corner. And then the secondary with the safety group looks pretty solid. I think Isaiah Taylor brings a lot to the group that the guys in the past really haven't. And Gunnar Maldonado being back at safety and out of the nickel spot seems to be more at his natural position, and he's fitting in nicely. But all across the board, I think the defense has taken an upgrade in talent, except the middle of the defense, which is concerning to me. The interior defensive line, Tyler Manoa has been really good. Tai has been really good too as well. But to me, Tai is more of an outside defensive lineman. They have him playing inside right now because of the lack of depth at that position. But Tyler Manoa has been really good. They just need some guys behind them to step up. And Coach Fish mentioned it during his post-game interview, saying that, you know, they have 3 to 4 scholarships left available to fill their roster, and they will be exploring situations out across the country looking to add to this Wildcat roster. So it's a roster that's not complete yet. You could see them get a big piece or two as we get closer to training camp.
How about the coaching staff? Has it stayed pretty much intact over the off season, Troy?
Yeah, you know, they did have a change with Coach Walker, Dwayne Walker, not being re-signed with the team. That was the one coach they did not extend. They brought in John Richardson from Washington State. He was at Wyoming as well. He did not coach in college football last season. He took a year off after the Washington State situation, and then Dwayne Aquina to the coaching staff. And a lot of Arizona fans remember Dwayne Aquina from his days with the Dick Tomey era and the Desert Swarm era. I mean, he was an offense coordinator here, defense coordinator, DB coach. He's done it all, and he's had a lot of experience at that DB coaching position. Just the stops when you think about him with Texas, Stanford, Arizona. He's coached a lot of great defensive backs, but those two have brought new life to the defense. They're always on their defenders, but they're loving them even harder after they do something good. And I think it's a new energy that this defense really hasn't had in quite some time. Just the energy that they bring off on the from the sideline to the field is something we really haven't seen here at Arizona when covering the team for quite some time. And the team's really gravitating towards that. And when you ask DBs about what's it like getting coached by Coach Richardson and Coach Aquina, they light up and they talk about the knowledge that Coach Aquina has. And I think it's paying dividends for this football program.
You got to have a cohesive unit, not only on the field, but also on the sidelines. And it's all got to come together and gel. It's going to be an interesting season in that this is the last of the configuration, right? With the UCLA and USC going off to the Big Ten. This is kind of the last of the, or am I wrong here? Is there a season after this, or is this it?
No, this is the last of the Pac-12. And you know what we know of the Pac-12, Pac-10 kind of being what it once was. To be quite frank, this is the heart and soul of the conference being ripped out after this season. Mm-hmm. You lose those two big schools, but I know the presidents and the athletic directors and people within the Pac-12 feel confident that they can get something done and get some teams in here and get a TV deal done before the start of the season. What that will look like, who knows, but they seem to have a calmness to them for a conference that is losing two big pieces after this year. There's a sense of calm around the athletic directors and presidents.
I like that, a sense of calm. That's a good thing in certain circumstances. I hope that's the case here. Troy Hutchison, always a pleasure, of GoAZCats.com. Thanks, Troy.
Have a good day. Bye.
All right, that'll do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Troy and John, engineering and producing the program, Bill Buckmaster saying, I hope your afternoon and the week goes very well.
Day, it's Bill Buckmaster at noon, followed by the